Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Wonder Bench podcast series. In these podcasts, you will have the opportunity to listen to top employers and students to hear what valuable advice they have to fuel your future career. In today's webinar, Wonder Bench founder Joe Lynch will sit down with panelists to discuss internships among COVID-19 and how we can stay hopeful for the future.
I have a couple of slides I'd like to use to introduce our panel and introduce our time together. And so I wanted to thank our panelists who are joining us today, starting with Kristen Russell. Kristen is the head of marketing at Carrot and previously was VP at Transcend Insights, director of marketing at Omnicell. She and I had the pleasure of working together then, also at Cerner, and a CEO and founder of her own company that she successfully sold. So Kristen, really glad to have you here. And Kristen, why don't you share a little bit about your first experience, your first internship experience?
Absolutely. Happy to tell you guys about my first internship experience. Way back, a long time ago, I interned for the Prime Minister of Canada, and it was a terrific experience. I was a junior speechwriter, but learned so many skills from how to write a speech, how to structure speech, how to get along with a lot of different people, when to talk, when not to talk, all kinds of variety of different experiences, how to be really flexible in my role and open to feedback as well. But it was a great experience and totally set me up for a lot of the things that I carry forward with me today.
Yeah, terrific. Before I introduce Pollock, I wanted to invite everybody to join us in taking a poll. And so let me go ahead and start the poll. And in fact, I'd like to invite the panelists to take the poll as well. So go ahead. It's just a 4-question poll, and we will review these answers. Once we're done with introductions, we'll have a conversation about it. But now let me go ahead and introduce Pollock. So Pollock has a great story about her new role as product manager at Abbott. And she is a product manager expert working in healthcare companies, Omada Health and Omnicell, where we also had the pleasure of working together. Also Sugar CRM, tech company, and did her studies at Duke and UC Irvine. So Pollock, welcome. Glad you're here. Well, tell us about your early experience and if you don't mind also about your situation here having just joined Abbott.
Yeah, definitely. Hi, everyone. Glad you all could join this morning. Happy to be here. Happy to share my experiences. I recently just joined Abbott. So the first day of my new job, it was the work from home day. So I've been working virtually for the past couple weeks with the new role. So it's been a very interesting experience nonetheless. But I have had a chance to make use of, virtual tools, especially WebEx, and of course using your phone a lot. And so it's been very interesting just learning about new people and the different systems that exist. Very different way of onboarding for a new company, but it's always great to stay positive. And it's been a pleasure just meeting all sorts of people from Abbott from my new role, and everyone has been so helpful, which is pretty common in most large organizations and small organizations, especially as a new hire. So it's nothing to be afraid of or anything like that. In terms of my first internship experience, I actually was very interested in marketing when I was in my undergrad studies. And so I saw that AT&T actually was offering a marketing internship. And this is the time when Facebook and Twitter and all of those online social medias were still emerging. So I had a great interest in that digital marketing technology and platform. And so with this AT&T internship, we were marketing some 15% promotional discount for AT&T services. So I was key in getting a lot of students some money back for their AT&T cell phones. So that was really fun. It was a great creative experience, and really just using the Facebook and Twitter platforms as they were just starting up and understanding how they work. So it's a really cool and unique way of starting off my marketing career.
Yeah, well, wow, you started big in cell phones, bringing benefits to students. So thank you for joining. You, I know you've had other interns, so really glad you're able to join this discussion, Paula. We're also really pleased to have students, to have student perspectives on the panel. And of course, we're gonna discuss everybody's perspective here in the poll in a minute, as well as we'll capture questions throughout the session. Feel free to use the Q&A button on the bottom, and later on, we're gonna go through your questions. But let me quickly introduce the students on our panel. We have Victoria Gao from San Jose State in marketing, and also Kevin Yu, computer science at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about your early experience.
Thanks, Joe. So my first internship, and actually current internship, is with WonderBench. And so I think I've just really enjoyed working on a smaller team and just being able to readily communicate with them all the time. That's been a really sweet part of it, and to just track each other's progress. But in terms of what I've been learning from the internship, it's given me the opportunity to really connect with students on my campus. It's given me that push, I think. Just as a college student, it's very easy to go about your day and kind of stay in your immediate circles and your immediate community. But with this internship, it has changed my mindset to really meeting new people and also figuring out ways to cater WonderBench and the whole recruitment process to them. And so not just thinking of how I would view things, but how others view things. So that's been a really sweet part of the internship itself. And also just finding new resources on campus and connecting with other professors and departments outside of the business school has been very cool as well. And getting their perspective on what's important to these students, how can we best kind of file them into WonderBench and through the whole process.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Victoria, as you know, I mean, we're having a good time together and you're doing a great job. I think we probably have a lot of San Jose State students on the call today. So cool. We're really glad you're here. And Kevin, you from still down at San Luis Obispo. Thanks so much for joining us, Kevin. Tell us a little bit about your early experiences. You've had some nice internships already.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. My first internship was in a global IT group, HPE. And I worked in a DevOps group where they had some tools that they were working with that they didn't have an interface for. And so they were like, hey, why don't you try and learn some new things and create this web app? So I was like, all right, I'll try to do that. And so I just spent that summer learning a lot of new tools and ended up with a working web app that they could use as a proof of concept. So someone could pick up the project and it could be redistributed to other teams in the company. Don't know what happened with that, but it's a really good experience for me to, you know, as a freshman in college coming out, see what it's like to be programming in the industry for one thing, and just to see how things work for such a big company like HPE. Yeah. And yeah, so it was just a really good learning experience.
That's awesome. Kevin, you know, we have conversations all the time at WonderBench with students. And I think integrating what you learn in the classroom, especially in computer science, with what you're able to do in industry, with deployment, with actual testing, with getting it out the door, it's the combination of those two things that are so powerful. It's great that you've been able to do that even at this point. So congrats. All right. Well, thank you again, everybody, for joining us. I'm going to stop sharing the slides and let's bring up the polling and let's see what we have here. We have a good group here. We have marketing and engineering and some other areas. Feel free on the chat to let us know what some of the other topics are so we can have a sense of that. And let's go to this next question. In light of COVID-19, how are students changing internship post-graduation search strategies? And people had to pick one here. A lot of people are broadening the search. That's the leading response, to find more virtual opportunities. A number of others staying the course, and then narrowing the search to target local opportunities, a smaller group, an even smaller group who's saying, hey, it's time to break out some alternative plans. I'm not sure internships are gonna work. So that's actually, you know, pretty positive sentiment here among this group. What does everybody think about that? Let me ask the panelists your thoughts on this question. What are you hearing as you talk to people? Let me go to our professionals first, to Kristen, to Pollock. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm not completely surprised. I mean, I think from a business perspective right now, what's happening is unlike anything any business has ever experienced before or been prepared for in our lifetime. So there's a lot of focus at the moment on how do we keep the ship aright? How do we ensure that our current HR operations and our current team are set up for virtual, which means there's just not a lot of time and attention paid to things like internships. In fact, that's probably a lower priority, to be honest, right now. So I think just recognizing that and understanding that it doesn't mean that it's going away necessarily, but it does mean that it's not the top priority for organizations as they're really struggling to ensure that, to be honest, that, you know, all employees are set up for virtual, which many organizations are not. So that means they're focusing on things like, does everybody have a laptop? Does everybody have a Zoom account? How do I make sure that my employees feel comfortable in their current roles? And am I right staffed for this pretty major shift in terms of virtual employment? Now that said, I think that internships and an opportunity for virtual internships is still out there. And I think a lot of companies, as they go through the next month, because things are moving at, you know, kind of light speed here, will pretty quickly start turning their attention towards other areas of operation, things like internships. And to be honest, there's probably some really interesting opportunities to potentially look at interns from the other side of the country. You know, as I start to set up my virtual shop, I don't have to just take internships that live in the geographic area in which my company or my headquarters or my various offices are set. But now I'm starting to think about how can I take interns from, you know, a variety of different locations. So long story short, not surprised by the results, but Pollock, what do you think?
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, you know, organizations are struggling right now to figure out how exactly to do this all virtually. For some functions, it may not even be possible. There are obviously a lot of essential functions that do need to be in an office and they actually have to physically be there. So sometimes it's really difficult to have maybe internships in those particular functions, depending on what you're looking for. Most of them can be remote, but there are some that aren't. But I think as time goes by, you know, just staying a bit positive about this, like hopefully we will get through this in a couple weeks. And generally staying the course is a good way of looking at it, where, you know, you would just assume you are able to get that summer internship that you're looking for, where you don't have to look at like a virtual opportunity that needs to be there, because hopefully by that time we'll be able to be in person with everybody. But I think there's, you know, these are all good ways of just looking at this, as long as you're just being positive about what you're able to get and continue being passionate about what kind of internship you're also looking for. I think that'll be really helpful, and that'll be really motivating for yourself as well as your potential employer who would be able to hire you for what you're looking for. And, you know, just working around kind of what the situation is and making it work is a good way to just look at it and continue to look at those internships in a way where it would be okay for the situation that we're in.
That makes sense. Thanks, Pollock. I'd love to get the panel's comments on this next question, question three. How are companies changing their strategies? You know, it is interesting, and actually I'd like to get the student perspective. And because I know we have primarily students here on the call, canceling internships as a lead answer, but not the full-time job. Certainly, you know, 3.28 total unemployment figures that was in the news today, higher than people are expecting. Now, granted, that's in certain industries, that's in transportation, hospitality, restaurants, but it seems like the group here, the polled group, is seeing some reduction in the number of available internships and maybe even full-time jobs given these layoffs. Have Kevin and Victoria, have you seen internships that were out there taken away? Have you heard maybe from other students that internships are falling away? It'd be good to get your perspective actually on what you're seeing on the job boards.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a good mix of both. Looking on LinkedIn every day, you know, internships getting canceled left and right. On the other hand, there are a lot of companies that are still putting out positions. And so kind of the way that I've been handling it is reaching out to certain people that I know or connections that I may have. Because I think, I mean, especially with everything going on right now, I think people are just generally more connected than ever. And so, I mean, Zoom is a huge thing right now. LinkedIn is a huge thing right now. And so just being strategic about who you reach out to and trying to see where you have connections, where you might have overlooked before, and just looking at those specific companies that could be putting out a lot of positions. I was actually really surprised to see the result that people are looking for more like virtual opportunities. Yeah, a lot of internships are getting canceled. And a really big part of an internship is, you know, being that location or at that office in person, meeting all the people in person. And so I was really interested to see that. But yeah, I think generally staying the course and at the same time narrowing your search is a really, really good thing. But in terms of, you know, internships getting canceled or if people are still putting out positions, I think it's a good mix of both depending on which industry. And I can really only speak for like the computing industry or anything that has programming or tech involved.
No, you know what? You make a good point, Kevin. I know this week and on my conversations with employers, I'll have to say, as much as we're all getting used to using Zoom and working virtually, I am hearing from employers that for them, moving ahead with internships, which they typically do face-to-face, it's hard for them to step away from that. Right. From the few employers that I had that conversation with. So I hear what you're saying, that the virtual is a little surprising. Now, it could be the case that in software engineering, it's a little bit more feasible in certain industries. Mm-hmm. And actually, so with that, let's quickly take a look at what people are looking to get out of our session today, how they move forward, and what are the keys to getting the job in this environment, understanding keys to success as well, less about employer success, not surprising since we're primarily students on the call. Let me toss this back to Pollock and Kristen. What are the kinds of projects that you think, even in a world where there's some uncertainty and maybe certain areas might be a little more virtual, where might virtual internships still work, do you think? What kinds of projects in business? I know, you know, both of you are business people, so maybe why don't we start by talking about that?
Sure, I can go first here. For me in particular, in my marketing role, it's quite easy to do this all virtually and remote. And the only reason I say that is because there's so much of the online technology where you can share so easily. For example, if I'm working on a product presentation, that can all be available to my peers as well through SharePoint, and we can work collaboratively within the, you know, PowerPoint online, or whether it's Google Suites online. There's so many capabilities for working collaboratively, even if we are not in the same room or in the same like conference room. But virtually, you know, you can work through using Zoom or WebEx or whatever means. You can also share your screen and you can collaborate that way. So there's just a lot of technology that has emerged that helps in times like this in terms of collaboration. And so in terms of like any type of marketing related projects for me in particular, those can all be done online. And even if it's a presentation to a customer, customers are also now getting used to this, especially because of this time. And so they're also getting used to the technology of being able to log on to a WebEx, have this type of meeting virtually, go through a presentation. So there's a lot of ways to do this. And so many of those type of projects live online for the most part, at least in my world. So it makes it actually relatively easy to work through this kind of pandemic that's going on.
Yeah, very good. You know, Kristen, piggybacking on that, some students may want to even propose to employers certain kinds of jobs that they'd be happy to take on in this environment. And you're a master at framing different jobs. What do you think some specific ideas might be of like, hey, how could a student talk with an employer and say, yeah, I'd be up for doing this and this? And what are the kinds of things that you think would really work well in the virtual world?
Yeah, and I think, kind of along the lines of where Kevin was going with virtual internships, I actually think we're seeing a tectonic shift here. So I think we're going to, I actually don't think we're going to go back to the way things used to be, but I think we'll continue to evolve going forward. And what that means is, particularly for people applying for positions, I don't think you have to be in the same city where the jobs are. I think you can propose to a variety of different employers, hey, I can work virtually, and here's how we can do that. And employers now are starting to see how that can come together. Pollock mentioned some of the technologies, but there's specific roles as well that really do lend themselves to a virtual environment. And one of the couple of different positions that I would think about in my org would be research in particular. So market research, economic research, social, I mean, any of the kind of the different areas that you can think of that you guys are coming from a background, from a schooling perspective, being able to approach an employer and provide some sort of a structure around which, hey, I can bring you insights into your consumers, or I can help you get those insights. That's pretty important. For us in the world of marketing, we will spend more with a research agency to gather consumer insights than what I would spend on an intern across the entire summer. So if I can bring an intern in and I can get that intern to do a research project for me where they're outreaching to different groups of consumers or buyers or practitioner, kind of whoever is in my key stakeholder, that's important. I think a lot of organizations don't necessarily think about that, but being able to frame that in terms of, hey, organization XYZ, you may not have this internship, but you may have research dollars. And let me think about how I might tap into the research budget that you've allocated in addition to as an intern. So that's one area. Particularly with marketing, I think there's a real need for people, interns in particular who are coming out of college to help us with things like social media. Pollock mentioned one of her first roles in digital. That's a huge area of growth. It's also a big area of spend. All marketing budgets definitely have budget allocated for digital. So if you can come in as an intern and approach any organization, and not just marketing, by tapping into one of their core budget functions and saying, I can help you with this for a fraction of the cost, and oh, by the way, this is what I do day and night and weekends too, that's always going to be appealing.
Really good. I think that's a really great practical suggestion, especially if you have expertise in one of those areas and may be in a lower cost environment than where the employer is. That's really the win-win and a great proposal. So now, Victoria, I want to get back to you with kind of the student perspective on this. So let's say that's working and some students are finding that kind of opportunity to work virtually, just like Kristen was saying. What's going to be important to you, Victoria, as a new employee, as an intern, wanting to have the rich experience? I mean, the student too wants to have, you know, build relationships, be connected. What would you hope might be a part of that if it was virtual?
Yeah, I think Kevin was mentioning this earlier, that a large part of internships is that kind of mentorship that you get, that hands-on experience to really talk to people inside the company and learn that way. And so when doing things remotely or over virtual, if it were to be that way, I think something that I would really look for as a student and really appreciate is constant communication check-ins, so like a weekly Zoom meeting to be paired up with someone in the company that you can talk to and go over your progress, the goods and the bads, and just have really like an open communication line about that. I think when you're not working face-to-face in person every day, when they're not on the floor above you or below you or the cubicle, you know, 10 feet away from you, you have to be a lot more intentional about seeking out that communication and that conversation. You can't just pop over and be like, hey, like, let me just pull you aside for a second. So I think a big part of it would be structure in that way of just being very conscious of, okay, let's take the time to just really review what's been going on, how we can move forward, and just like progress and feedback is something I would enjoy as a, as a student in internship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anything, even going deeper than that on the personal side, right? Part of what's fun is usually often like, you know, getting out after work or whatever. Are there ways you can imagine you'd be able to do some of that stuff? You'd hope the employer might take some initiative.
I think in terms of personal preference, a work culture that is more personal, I think, and more of a team as opposed to competitive. I think a little bit of good competition is always good to push you forward and to keep you working. But overall, just a culture in the workplace where you can feel just appreciated, loved, but also a place where you can be vulnerable and be able to share like what's going on, like your weaknesses, things that you need help with, I think is a large part, just support and moving forward with progress.
And Kevin, I wanted to ask you, From a software engineering standpoint, and feel free, you know, I'm not sure, because I'm not a software engineer, I certainly can't answer this question, but are there certain projects that you think would work really well virtually and other kinds of software engineering projects that really would not? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think from the software engineering that I've seen from teams and whatnot, from internships and classes, a lot of it you can do over virtual. You can do Zoom meetings and you can draw things on Zoom meetings. And I think it's just the most important part when I'm looking at a software engineering project, or any project for that matter, is just constant communication with the team members. And I loved how Victoria mentioned, you just have to make that extra step to be very intentional with every conversation you have, if it's project related or not project related. You know, if you're looking at a project and you have a team of, you know, 5 to 7 people, everyone's going to be working on different things. And so you want to be a cohesive unit. And so that communication is key, especially in a virtual setting. I think this kind of shift from this in-person internship / job to, you know, more virtual world is very different, but I think there's a lot of room for growth. And if anything, it might make people better communicators in the future.
Absolutely. And I think to your point, and having worked at quite a few companies where software is the product, you see all the time how problem solving happens. Tough problems are solved by groups, usually not by individuals. And so you have to have enough ways to banter and work through those problems and quick, fast, different kinds of communication. There's Zoom, there's text, there's Slack. And so I think anyone who's going to jump into that world needs to become very comfortable and fluid with all that stuff. Otherwise, you're probably not going to be able to tackle those tough problems, which in the end, that's what all the companies are trying to do. So I think that communication being key is such a good point. Kristen Pollack, how about sharing a success story of maybe an intern that you worked with or that you saw at a company where you were that might offer some insight and kind of pearls for everyone who's listening in?
Sure, I'll start and then Pollack, you can jump in. I've had the pleasure of having interns for a number of years and working with a variety of different interns across my career. There's a few things that are really awesome about, so the interns that stand out do a few things that's really helpful from an employer perspective. In particular, those who come on board with a goal, like whatever their goal is, but they're kind of clear in terms of, hey, this is what I, like they're almost driving the internship a little bit as well. That's actually really terrific. You guys would be surprised, but frequently as an employer, you've got so many different priorities going on that there's always this terrific idea of like, I've got a little project, I'm going to carve this out. It's maybe it's a research project that I mentioned earlier, or a product that needs some particular attention that or market insights, but frequently that's all. Like, you know, you've got kind of about, I don't know, 20 lines of thought on this thing, and then 18 other priorities that are not related to the internship. So those interns that come on board and they're really clear about, this is my goal for this organization. This is my goal for my internship. I've got 3 months. I want to make sure I achieve these 3 things in the internship. That's a super helpful. Second thing that's really stands out are the individuals who are really organized. They're organized in their approach to their work. They're organized in their personal behavior. So Victoria, you mentioned having one-on-ones, finding ways to structure the internship and the communication with the employer. I think that's absolutely accurate. And frequently those interns that actually take the ball and run with it and maybe even go above and beyond the weekly one-on-ones, but put together a weekly update of the work that they've been doing, that's super helpful. And then the last thing is being flexible. So individuals who are really flexible in terms of taking the role on and understanding that organizations change, the work that you're doing can change over the course of the time that you're there. If you think about it, you may have been hired 3 months earlier, so you may be hired in a pre-COVID-19 world, and you're stepping into an internship that's 3 months down the road. The organization may have changed a lot, and so being flexible about the work that you're doing, and then coming back on those principles of saying, hey, no problem, I get that the project's changed. Let's re-outline those goals and let me help you think about how I can organize this.
Those are pearls. That was awesome. And Kristen, I've seen you at work. You're awesome. You demonstrate that sort of stuff all the time. You're a great model for that, everyone around you. So that's great. Cool. Pollock, how about you? Any success stories to share? Any other tips?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Kristen summarized it great. You know, just looking for someone who's really motivated and passionate about what they're trying to do. You know, internships are a great way to explore new areas of interest. You know, if you're interested in finance, go for a finance internship. It may not work out. You never know. You may not enjoy it. But I think just having that motivation and passion to learn is really important. I had an intern a few years ago, and you know, she was just so motivated. She would finish her project so quickly, and I would be left with just amazement on like, okay, well, she's doing a great job, and what else do I give her to do? Because she was so quick. And I think you'll find that with a lot of employers, that you may just be more advanced in terms of technology for this emerging group of college students. Like, you guys have been so great with technology, as you've just, you know, you're in that age, you know a lot more than a lot of the older folks out there. And so you will find yourself being really fast. But I think just keeping that momentum and motivation to learn is really important. And I still connect with my intern that I hired 3 years ago. I still talk to her. I'm a mentor for her, you know. Speaking of constant communication, we talk all the time over a few months, just checking in, seeing where she's, what she's doing. I have connected with her over coffee. And so you don't just get the internship experience, you also get a great, you know, mentor relationship. And if you continue that relationship, it can be helpful in your future years, and you might have just got a friend out of it too. So I think just having that, you know, one is the motivation piece, but making sure you're creating a relationship, because it's not just for 3 months. It could be for a much longer period as well.
Really well said. That's great, Pollock. Let me give a quick reminder to everybody, and then I want to ask the last question to the students. I'll give our panelists the heads up. So I wanted to ask you if there are companies out there that during these times really seem to stand out as being attractive in their approach. While you're thinking about that, everyone who's on the call, now is the time to load up the Q&A queue. So go ahead and submit your questions. Let me go back to Victoria and Kevin. What do you think? Any companies that serve as a good example that any other employers on the line and Kristen and Pollock should pay some attention to, because they're just doing a great job?
I don't never say if I have any specific companies who I've just seen, like, I think this is also new, like it's such uncharted territory and a lot of companies are still trying to figure out what to do moving forward and how to kind of give the information out to students, especially for internships. And so, but just going through LinkedIn, I've been able to see a couple companies who have had recruiters actually post about resources to give out to different students. So like a lot of LinkedIn recruiters are giving access to the premium subscription for a couple months for free in order to help out students to connect with recruiters more. I'm going to have more of those conversations. But I did go through a couple, I'm on my feet and just wrote down a couple names of companies who are already offering remote internships. So doing it from your own home. So FTD, Hypertech, Otai, like they're all, I've already seen them listing out multiple positions for internships. So I don't know per se if a lot of companies have started to really put out a lot of information on that, because I think it's all just happening now, but there are definitely steps that have been made by several companies to go forward with that. I think we just need a little bit more time and to give them a little more time in order for them to kind of get everything together and package it up and then be able to send it out to these students.
Yeah, Victoria, that's great. Thank you so much. Kevin, how about you? Anything you're seeing out there?
Yeah, nothing too, I think, specific in terms of, you know, what companies are out there, but I'm really just looking at what companies are still putting out positions and, you know, what companies have employees who are generally active on LinkedIn and very connected, just because I think that it's really important to be connected with, you know, other people in outside of your own world. But seeing that even with COVID-19, they're willing to, I think, step out and recruit, you know, from outside of career fairs that they might be attending, I think it's really important to see that they're making an effort to go through this together with potential candidates. And just seeing that effort is a huge step in the right direction. But yeah, I mean, like, reaching out to companies with a lot of employees who may have graduated from my school or have gone through my program, just because I think there's a connection there. They've gone through a lot of the things that I've also gone through. And, you know, I think looking at what company they're at now, you know, maybe that's an environment that they're very familiar with and thrive in. Yeah, just looking at little things like that.
Great point, Kevin. I mean, there are a couple of things you said that resonate with me. One is the companies that are taking a longer view, right? That even though there's COVID-19 in the, you know, right here in front of them, if you take the longer view, you know, I'm not a mountain biker, you can't just look at the rock right in front of your wheel that you'll get all hung up. You have to look further ahead. You have to get feet going and get further ahead, and then you bounce right through those rocks, right? So you have companies that take a longer view, and that alumni network. I thought that was another great pearl, actually, is to leverage your alumni network, because those, they were students too, and they were students at your school. So I know here at Wonder Bench, we're doing a fair bit of campaigning, helping introduce candidates to alumni from their schools. That's one of our strategies for sure. Very good. All right. Sophia, I know you've been curating our questions and I see that they're coming in. Do you want to give one to the group?
Yes. The first question is, once this is all over, I'm assuming COVID-19, what will the situation for internships seeking students be like?
I don't know. Kristen, what do you think? Do you think it'll return to like it was? Or you made a comment earlier that you think it may be substantively different. What's your take?
Yeah, I think this is changing the way we work. The one thing, and this was a comment that someone made earlier, a question earlier to the panelists about, like, do you think that the company culture is changing it with, you know, with, and how would a virtual internship work with within the company culture? Just to be clear, I mean, it wasn't that pre-COVID everybody was showing up in one location and now we're going to virtual. So for years, companies have been making this shift towards virtual. My last role with Humana, with Transcend Insights, we were located in the Bay Area. Humana's headquarters were in Louisville, but 40,000 employees, we had over 450 offices across the country. So you can imagine that teams have been working in a virtual environment for some time. Mm. I think what's shifting though is that there's and I think this is kind of positive for internships, I think there's this change in terms of an acceptance of virtual and this recognition that, you know, a virtual team is actually, it's not kind of the redheaded stepchild. It's an okay way to work.
Yeah.
That means then from an internship perspective, in terms of kind of what does this look like when it's all over, I think you're going to see more and more virtual teams. And I think that there will be a readiness and a willingness to accept internships that aren't in person. Because I do think there was probably prior to some of these conversations and prior, maybe even a few years ago, there was sort of this thought that interns had to be located in place and had to be showing up in an office. I think that's going to change. I don't know, Paula, what do you think?
No, yeah, I completely agree. I think this actually will, so once, you know, all of this is over, I think this will open up even more internship opportunities. I think Joe, you mentioned, or Kristen, somebody mentioned, you know, the ability to perhaps be in a different location of your employer. So if you want to do an internship, say in New York City, and that could be done remote, that just opens up even more opportunities. So companies maybe start looking at, you know, having this virtual opportunity, in-person opportunity. It just really opens up even more internship capabilities to be able to work in this virtual world as well as the in-person world. So I think it'll be for the positive for sure as we kind of drift out of this scenario that we're in.
Very good. That helps you take a hopeful look, right? That's exciting, actually, to think there's that sort of increased set, a number of opportunities that could come out of this. Sophia, how about the next question? What do you think?
All right, the next question. What do job or career fairs look like now that we are going virtual for everything?
Okay, let me go to the students. Let me go to Victoria and Kevin on this one. What would you like to see them look like?
I think with job and career fairs right now, just virtual is something that is not super common. At least I haven't seen that. It's mostly you come to the campus, you talk to some recruiters, you have an in-person conversation with them. So kind of taking this question a little direction, what I was thinking when I saw this question was, as students right now, I can't speak for everyone, but at least for me, I get very anxious when I think about the future of internships, just how things are going to change, how it's just very uncharted territory, not knowing if certain positions are still going to be there, kind of what we've been discussing for the past little bit. But I think this is a really good opportunity actually now, you know, it's not really a career fair, an internship fair, but to be able to embrace opportunity to kind of hone our skills of virtual communication, I think is a big thing. And so realizing that it is really scary right now, and this is just very uncharted territory, but also realizing this is a very good opportunity for growth, and that if we can really hone in our skills, virtual communication and setting up different ways and creative ways to talk with our team members, how we can actually carry those skills into the future of internships, which as Kristen and Paul were saying, there is a very good chance that it's going to go more virtual in the future. So that's just something that came to my mind, is now instead of kind of just sitting in this lull, but looking more into the future of, okay, like the future might look like this. So how can I kind of cultivate what the opportunity that's in front of me now, which is just really furthering your skills of virtual communication.
Yeah. So. I already know you're an innovator. So that's cool. That's a good framing. And actually, as I saw who wrote the question, it's cool to have a San Jose student answer a San Jose student, you know, respond to a San Jose student's question. Any other employer perspectives, Kristen or Pollock, on how you envision job fairs in the future? I don't know if that's something you engage with much now. What's your take on that?
I think, you know, there have been virtual career fairs that I've actually attended in the past. So I don't think it's anything new. Because some employers do these, you know, virtual career fairs for global or, you know, across the US. So I have seen that before from my time. So I don't think that will stop anyone from doing these career fairs. Obviously, in-person career fairs right now are not an option, but seeing more virtual going out there, there are some different technologies that I've seen where you can pretend it's a room and you go to different conference rooms and you can see like different employers that are engaging with you in those conversations. And so I would definitely, you know, for students, I think you will definitely see these virtual career fairs emerging if you haven't yet. I think it's a great option, and it's definitely been done in the past too.
Yeah, it's good point. That's a good point. Sophia, give us another question.
Next question. Would the virtual aspect make the internship process more competitive? In other words, inviting more self-starting applicants with prior knowledge coming into the firm rather than a mentored process.
Kristen, what do you think about that?
I don't know if it's going to make it more competitive, but I think that the interns that are going to get the roles today are probably going to have to do a couple of different things. It's maybe a little different. I think sitting back and waiting for a job to kind of land in your lap, I don't know if that ever worked, but it's probably going to be a tougher opportunity these days. I would encourage anybody thinking about internships today to do a couple things. I'd encourage you to tailor your resume and your position to the organization itself. I think teaching the organization, because I don't think all organizations are thinking about this, but teaching the organization about how you can work with them in a virtual environment along the lines of some of the things we talked about earlier today, that's going to be really successful. And I think outreach. So actually cold calling and outreaching to organizations and saying, hey, listen, I've got this set of skills. I want to target this type of person. So for example, if you have skills where you say, I think I can help you with a short-term research project, I'm going to outreach to the research departments, to the heads of marketing, to the product marketing people, and I can run this program for you. I think that's really compelling. So it's along the lines of, you know, really thinking about your outreach, tailoring whatever it is that you're doing to the specific organization and teaching the organization a little bit, how you can be successful in a virtual environment for them.
Yeah.
I love, Kristen, how you talked about, you know, cold calling or cold messaging and tailoring your resume to fit, you know, certain industries or job descriptions. That's like one thing that I've kind of picked up in the past month is cold messaging employers on LinkedIn who have alumni or who you have connections with. 9 times out of 10, I think they're really going to be willing to, you know, have a quick chat with you about a certain position and like how you could better fit your resume or your skills to really go along with that position. And yeah, I mean, people are generally very kind and they're willing to talk. A lot of these people also have probably been in your shoes before too. And so I think they can really empathize with where you are right now, currently, especially with COVID-19, where people are kind of panicking to find jobs and internships in whatever field. And so I would say put yourself out there, even if it means reaching out to someone you may not know, because you really don't know they might have to offer you. And people, again, are generally really kind.
Very good. Why don't we, Sophia, go to one more final question?
Yeah, what you guys were talking about kind of goes into this next question. How should students begin to position themselves for post-grad opportunities in light of COVID-19? With an economy soon to replicate the 2008 recession, how can students prepare to market themselves as valuable team members?
I think not letting this affect you will probably help. My recommendation would be, you know, approach it as you normally would. You're always going to put your best foot forward. You're going to position yourself as, you know, the best person that you can be. And so I don't think you should modify anything in light of what's going on right now. There's so many opportunities that will come about. And, you know, even though times are changing, as much as you want to focus on, say, you know, some virtual expertise, that happens to everyone. So staying positive, putting your best foot forward, and how you would have normally positioned this is probably the way I would suggest to go about looking at opportunities.
Very good. All right, listen, let me go ahead and share a couple final thoughts, a couple closing thoughts real quickly. So one thing that many of you have been working with WonderBench, but one thing that we are doing is helping students by getting in front of more opportunities. I think it's nicely connected to that question that was asked. May there be more competition? I think there can be. And I think there's an opportunity for more strong candidates to present themselves. And so what we are doing is we are for different jobs, like say in the case of software engineering AI, we're engaging students from all sorts of top universities and helping them present themselves in some new ways, right? With information about, in addition to their, you know, traditional resume, using our assessment, using one-way interviews, giving a virtual chance to say, yeah, I'm interested in chatting with this candidate. And so for any of you who have not taken these steps, we'd be happy to help you. This is one way to get your candidacy and your interest in front of more people. And as we talk about all the time, when you have 5 questions to really tell your story and to lay it out there and just put it in front of a potential employer, I think that could be very powerful. So I wanted to share that with everybody. And in terms of next steps, we do have more webinars coming up. If this was a good use of your time, we have our next one, UNAI, Engineering Our Digital Lives, with a really another great cast with representative from Google, one of the original iPhone developers, and then student representatives from Georgia Tech and from Penn. Our 301 is really going to be about how do you make sure your deliverables during your internship are top notch. More to come on who those panelists will be, but I understand we're going to have some consulting experts as well as software engineering experts on that webinar. So feel free to sign up. Also, if you haven't already enrolled as a student or as an employer on WonderBench, you can do that on our website. You can also send us an email. Let me just go ahead and say this has really been a delight seeing all of the panelists. I really appreciate your joining us. There were many pearls. I'm going to have to go back through it and write down my own notes because I couldn't do that now, but I thought it was really terrific. So thank you so much. And thank you, everyone who joined us, for taking the time. You had a lot of great questions, great engagement, great discussion. Thank you so much. We'll go ahead and close it out since we're nearly at the top of the hour. Hey, thanks everybody. Take care. Great job.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to our first podcast of the WonderBench podcast series. We hope you learned something you can take with you moving forward. Make sure to check out our website and social media for more information on fueling your future career.